Lock in all sports, all plays, all 5% best bets from now until Super Bowl 58 on February 11, 2024. From your favorite Wager Talk or Sports Memo handicapper for only $11.99 versus the regular price of $19.99 for a total savings of $800. This limited time super discount basically is 52 weeks at $23 per week, less than the price of one 4% play coming out to only $3.29 per day. With the cost of a 30-day all-access priced at $299, it is almost like getting 8 30-day all-access passes at no additional cost. As an added bonus, your all-access starts immediately, so the sooner you buy before Super Bowl, the more additional days you get for free.
Hey guys, welcome in, and a happy Wednesday now as we said goodbye to January. Hello, February 2023. Crazy to think here. We've got another full month of action in college hoops, and then, of course, it'll be conference championships and then tournament time. So a lot of ways to be able to cash a few tickets between now and then, and we're going to try to do that here today with three of the best college basketball cappers over at wagertalk.com, welcoming back in Drew Martin in the house, as is Adam Trigger and his brother from a different mother. It is Mr. Brian Power. All three guys ready to roll here on a nice card tonight. We got three games we're going to break down for you. And Drew, did anything tickle your fancy tonight that you got up and available over at wagertalk.com?
Joe, I'll tell you, tickling my fancy on hump day here. We got three games I'm kind of interested in. We're about to break down. But I'll tell you, over at Wager Talk, I'm frigidly ice cold. Been one of those runs here, Joe. But I did wake up this morning feeling pretty nice, man. And I feel a bounce back coming. So I'm going to start it off today, Joe, breaking down these three games, hopefully with three winners out there. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
All right, let's do it here. Trig, nice to see you. You finally landed someplace. You don't have to fly anywhere, catch a train. The Uber guy's not outside. You're home here, which is nice. It's been a hell of a trip since the last time you were on the show, but do you have anything ready to roll here tonight at wagertalk.com?
Yeah, I do. I've got one play so far locked in. I may add something else, but one 4%er up for tonight. You can actually get all of my plays for the next 3 days using coupon code GAME3 on the 3-day all access. And that works for Brian Power as well. I'll let him tell you more about that in a minute. But GAME3 is a 3-day all access coupon code. And I believe it's going to be up for until Friday. So you can use it as many times as you want. One play locked in so far. I've got some opinions I'm going to give out on the show. Yeah, Joe, I'm home right now. Went to the Syracuse game on Monday night. Just what they've done all season, melt away in the final minute. But I will be headed out to see Brian and Jeff Michaels on Friday night. We are headed to Kent State, Akron. What a game that's going to be. There's almost no tickets left. Like, they're going to, like, I think we're in the student section because can't even get a seat to the game right now. But yeah, looking forward to it. And you know, hopefully we're still rolling. It's been a good run. Marist 5% winner last night, and hopefully we can do it again today.
All right. Good stuff there. A little renewed. I know, Brian, you got to be all excited. That means we get new pictures next week is what it sounds like.
Oh, look at that.
Last time we went to an Akron-Kent State game, just want to remind everyone how wonderful
Toledo,
that trip was.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Toledo? You know, it's a 6.5. Not like you guys watched the game anyway. So let's hear about this, Brian, because it is a 3-day all-access pass, and you are just, basically siphoning off of Adam here. So why don't you tell us how this works for you as well with this 3-day pass?
Thank you for saying the quiet part out loud, Joe. That was real nice. Okay. But you heard the man. Game three is the coupon. It's what all the kids are talking about. And I can only hope the next 3 days are as good as my last 3 days. 5-1 overall. Couple 5% wins. Chiefs in the NFL playoffs. And then if that wasn't a big enough sweat, Texas Tech, Monday night in college hoops. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. That was what an incredible comeback that was. For tonight, actually today, I should say, we have three best bets locked and loaded. One in soccer, which is starting pretty soon, so you're going to have to hurry up to get that one. And then tonight, NBA and college. I've packaged the two hoops best bets together. You can get them both $29 for the pair. Looking forward to a 2-0 sweep on the court tonight, and then winning that best bet on the pitch as well this afternoon.
Right. Way to latch on there. All right, guys, we got some games here coming up. There it is. We've got a little biggies. We'll head here. We'll start with Providence heading over to Xavier there. -4 is the number. 154 is the total here. And listen, if it's one thing we know the, I think it's the dunk now, but Triggle, correct me if I'm wrong there. We know Providence at home is one thing, 12-0, I believe. They're not that bad away, I believe, as well. It's actually been a pretty good start to the year for these Friars, certainly in league play, 9-2. Xavier learned Zach Fremantle out at least a month with that left foot injury, so a little less depth, a little less rebounding. Man, where do you go from here, Drew? I really love this Xavier team. Going to be interesting to see if they can hold serve here tonight against a red-hot Friars team. What do you think?
Sure, Joe. Piggybacking off of how you teed this up, I mean, two really good teams, two tournament teams here. And actually, when you go down the line in terms of, you know, kind of the records, both 17-5 straight up, both 9-2 in Big East play, both also pretty good bet on teams here, 14-8 and 15-7 by my numbers against the spread. So both been money makers. I would actually go after this, Joe. I like Providence here, +4. I like the underdog. You brought up Zach Fremantle being injured here, a foot injury. The last two games, he was a little bit banged up, and now they're going to rest him here for a month. He's in a walking boot. They're looking for him to get back, you know, towards conference championship time. We'll see if that happens. But, Joe, why I think this is such a big part of this handicap, he's a really efficient player. You know, he's tall. He's their leading rebounder, over 15 points a game, over 8 rebounds per game. And here's the thing, Joe. It's not like he's like a real volume guy, you know, just chucking up shots. He's actually 59% from the field. So those really efficient players usually just don't kind of replace that type of player. So actually, all of that pointed me here towards Providence. Add on the fact it's Ed Cooley. His team here, he's great as an underdog. They're 8-2 their last 10 against the spread, winning each of the last three. I think Providence +4, the better free throw shooting team as well. That's the play I like the most tonight, Joe. I like Providence plus the points.
Listen, it's been an extremely profitable side to take with Ed Cooley as a dog over the years. And you know that, Trigg. So, is it as simple as that? Hey, take the points on the road, dog here in Providence, or is Xavier the team you're looking at?
I mean, I don't know if it's simple when it comes to this matchup, because I really like this Xavier team, but I'm not betting against Ed Cooley. Joe, to answer your question, it is not the dunk anymore. Oh. It's a Mika Mutual Pavilion. The name just changed. They're actually trying to push, they're trying to push calling it the Amp. I can't imagine anyone's having that though. That's like, wow. You know, we just call it the Dome now. It's tough to be the sponsor that comes in after like Carrier's been there for like 30 years. Mm. And then you have to be the new sponsor and people are just like, no, we're just going to call it the Dome. Same thing out there. I'm sure they'll call it the Dunk for a very long time, but this game is in Cincinnati. It's at Xavier. I don't know that Fremantle is a huge, like, I don't dock Xavier huge for him being out. I think depth-wise, he hurts, maybe longer term, but not so much for this game. But it just goes back to, I've completely stopped betting against Ed Cooley as an underdog. I think it's 91-60. I have that written down against the spread as an underdog. Going back to his Fairfield days, I remember we were always favored Siena was always favored against him because those Siena teams were really good, and Fairfield always gave us fits when he was the head coach. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it is that easy, Joe. I just don't want to fade Ed Cooley in Providence as a dog, especially because I still don't know if we know what this Providence team, where their ceiling actually is, a very different team from last year. So they could just very well be this good. The market's been wrong on them for 2 years now, pretty much. So for me, I just am not going to lay points against them. So I'm with Drew. It's Providence or nothing for me here.
All right. Looks like a Providence or pass here. What do you think, Brian? Is same situation, or might the home team be the side you're looking at?
Well, I think we've all pretty well established these teams are fairly comparable, ranked 16th and 17th in the country. Only Big East team ranked higher is Marquette. I, for the record, would like to say I think UConn and Creighton are better than both of these teams. I think the odds makers pricing would concur with that. You know, speaking of that, Xavier, they just lose at Creighton as a 6-point dog. That was after winning at UConn as a 6-point dog. So I think that they beat UConn, but at least the odds makers pricing suggests that they have UConn and Creighton higher than these two teams as well. Xavier, they've fallen apart a little bit, 2-2 last four games after their 7-0 start to conference play. And just like these guys have said, I don't want to lay points against Ed Cooley. And Providence wins nothing but close games. They beat Nova on Sunday, 70-65. That was a game I'm glad I stayed away from because I was actually thinking about taking Nova in that one. Glad I didn't. But the thing with Providence, and this is where I'll kind of take the conversation in a new direction. They have been betrayed at times by poor shooting, 8-37 in their two conference losses, which were to Creighton and Marquette. And I think Xavier can do a pretty good job here limiting Providence's second chance points and free throw shooting, which are the two areas the Friars excel in. Xavier, we know they're an elite offensive team, number 7 in efficiency. They play fast, but Providence, good defensive team, especially on the interior. That should be huge here. Neither team puts up a ton of threes, and Providence only shoots it 29.9% from three away from home, but they allow only 26.9% from home. So you can probably tell where I'm going here. Let's look at the under. I think this number made it all the way down to 152 this morning. It's since been bet back up. I like it at the current number. Under is the call for Providence and Xavier from me.
That's ballsy, man. 14 of 20, I think, to the over now with Xavier. That's ballsy. I love it.
You know me, Joe.
All right. Hey, listen, now I know why you're part of that promotion. All right, let's move on here. Let's check out game number 2 tonight. Utah State taking on New Mexico, the Lobos. 4 is the number for Utah State at home. 156.5 is the total in this one. I would imagine it's going to be raining threes for new Utah State here tonight at some particular point. What do you do here, Drew? Do you look at the total? Do you look at the side? Do you trust Utah State at home here in this one?
You know, Joe, it's kind of a tough one for me. You bring up New Mexico here, Ricky Pitino's team, 19-3 on the season. So the Lobos playing some good basketball. And to your point with the total, both teams combined 27-15 trending towards the over. I guess the only problem with that is, I mean, look at this total. We're flirting with 160 here. So you kind of need a clean ride to get up and over. And looking at Utah State's last couple games, I don't know. Like, they just played Fresno State. I know Fresno State's low pace, but that just went to, what, 123? Now we're asking them to get to 160. New Mexico's up tempo here, so it is kind of a different profile, but those type of like drastic changes in the totals market kind of make me pump the brakes a little bit in terms of just like kind of, you know, blasting bullets towards the over. I will say this sidewise: Utah State has lost 4 of the last 5 against the spread. They are the number 1 3-point shooting team in the country, and usually when that becomes the case, Joe, I like to look at, you know, the last time these two played. But the problem is we don't get that because they're only playing once here. Mountain West scheduling, these two teams only playing once. They won't play again the rest of the season. So what that really brings me to is New Mexico actually guards the three-point line very well, Joe. Top 25 team in terms of defensive three-point percentage against. I think that actually travels here. Defense tends to travel. It is a tough place to play in Logan, but I do think that they guard the three-point line very well. And if you can guard Utah State's 3-point shooting, you got a shot here. Give me the underdog. They're 19-3 on the season, +4.5. I like the Lobos.
5-2 on their last seven on the road against the number, Trig. It feels like, I don't know, is it feels like it's too easy here. What gives? What are you looking at here in this one? The Lobos, or you're looking at the Aggies here?
And Joe, it did feel like that when I first looked at this. I guess what it comes down to for me is, the number suggests Utah State would be the better team on a neutral floor, and I disagree with that. I think New Mexico is better than Utah State. I think Drew sort of touched on their ability to, you know, defend the three, but New Mexico also has excellent athletes. Jalen House is going to fly up and down the floor. Utah State has struggled with that, you know, in you know, kind of the teams that can really get up and down the way New Mexico can. Mashburn is you know, a pro prospect there. So in my opinion, New Mexico is I make them the better, like they're the better team. There's no question about that in my mind. I guess the question comes down to, is Utah State's home court advantage worth enough to lay four because they're just so good at home, 10-1 at home? And the answer here for me is no. Drew already referenced their ability to defend the three. We saw Utah State, you know, go up against a team that could defend the three earlier this year in San Diego State. They really struggled in that game. But here, I mean, New Mexico's 4-2 in true road games this year. So they've shown the ability to win away from home. I cashed a 5%er on Friday with Air Force in a game where New Mexico really had to kind of pull away late. They didn't play their best game. So I'm wondering if we get a little bit more of a focused effort here from New Mexico tonight with the magnitude of this game. Since the Air Force game was won, it was a home game. They were clearly expected to win. So I think we get a better focused team from New Mexico here. And I do think the points are valuable. So I agree with Drew. I would take the points with the Lobos in this spot. Just think they're the better team.
All right. Taking the points in this one. How about it, Brian? Are you in agreement here? Are you going to take the points? Or do you think the Aggies going to hold a serve, handle business here tonight?
Well, just like the first game we talked about, guys, expectations for a high-scoring game. New Mexico puts up 82.4 points per game. Utah State, 79.9. But once again, I like the under. Drew touched on this. I think it's just too high. You look through the season results, New Mexico has had just one game all season with a total higher than 156. It was January 9th against Oral Roberts. It went under. Similarly, Oral Roberts is the only Utah State opponent this season where the total was this high. So, you look back, recent games, last five for each, a lot of stuff in the 140s. For New Mexico, you know, there was a total 139. Drew touched on this, 135 versus Fresno State versus Utah State. Utah State, number one in the country in three-point percentage. But can they continue hitting above 40% for a full year? Above for three? That sounds pretty crazy to me. I think there's some regression there. And New Mexico, only nine teams in the country, Joe, take a fewer percentage of total field goal attempts from beyond the arc. So I like the under once again on a high total here on a Wednesday night slate.
All right. Looking at another under in that matchup, Utah State taking on New Mexico. We got one other game we're going to take a look at here. And this too should be a good one if you like watching paint dry. Tennessee taking on Florida here, guys. First one to 60 wins. We'll call it now 130.5. Tennessee laying five here, and they seem to be really taking it to another level here, this Tennessee squad. Quietly, a number two team, Drew. Like, nobody's talking about them. It's kind of interesting. Everybody else seems to get headlines, but yet, look at what they got rolling right now. Do you trust them here on the road? Always a tough spot to play. Defense is going to be the name of the game. Who has more of it tonight, do you think?
Yeah, Joe, it looks square here, you know, like laying points on the road. I just think that it's short, Joe. I really do. So I guess to answer your question quickly, I would say yes, I do trust the Vols here. I mean, they're 18-3 on the year. They're 7-1 in conference. Rick Barnes, the great coach. But making the trip to Knoxville to Gainesville can be tough. And Florida, you got to give them credit. I'm not 100% sure what they've done on defense. Part of it is scheduling. but they haven't let up more than 64 points in almost a month here. So they're playing good defense as well. Laying points in that environment isn't something I love to do. I do look towards the under. I mean, Florida is, what, 7-14 on the season, trending towards the under. You brought up Tennessee, how good they are. They're kind of almost under the radar. I haven't heard a ton of people talking about them. The number one defensive efficiency team in the country. Look, Joe, overall, I just think this number's short. I think the market, you know, the odds makers, people coming in here, trying to get a little bit too cute with Tennessee just -5. You're going to get the better players. In my opinion, you're going to get the better coaching with Tennessee. Could it blow up in our face? Yes, but I do think it's too short here. So you need a bet. I don't love it, but give me the Vols -5.
All right, Lynn, towards the Vols and laying it, I'll give Florida credit. I mean, defensively, Coach Golden's got these guys playing. I can't trust them offensively to score enough here, Trigg, but they are home. They've been a giant pain in the ass to some other pretty good defensive teams in the SEC. Take the 5, lay the 5. How do you approach it?
So this one's tough, and I'll explain what I've been noticing that's happening in this game that I've now noticed, you know, looking back at the last couple of years, I've noticed a trend. And the books are figuring out, like, they're shading the spot plays that, like, years ago we used to say, oh, like, the spot for Florida, like, it's so clearly the spot for Florida. Like, they desperately need this win. It's a huge game. It's at home. No one's going to argue with this being the spot for Florida. The problem goes back to what Drew mentioned. The line is too short because the books have already come in and shaded it because they know that you know it's the spot. That's what's happened the last couple of years. And I honestly think that that's why I didn't have a very good basketball season last year. I mean, last year was my one losing season in like 10 years of tracking my results doing college hoop. And I think this game, playing Florida in this spot, was the reason for that. In my opinion, it's too short. Florida has been awful against the top 50. They just haven't been good against good teams. I'm way high on Tennessee. Like, that's one of the teams. CT Betts and I have a nice Tennessee ticket to win it all. We bet it before the season. So that's a team I'm very high on. They're now the number one team in KenPom. So I'm kind of with Drew. Like, I mean, if I'm just looking at these two teams side by side, and I'm just taking the sort of desperation of Florida needing a big win out of the equation, like, Tennessee looks like the far better team here. So I lean toward Tennessee for that reason against the number, but I'm not going to discount the fact that this is the clear spot play for Florida. And guys, I've pretty much just found myself throwing these games out in a lot of these cases because I just don't think we're getting the right number to back Florida. But I don't really want to lay it with Tennessee on the road. And so that's just kind of how I see that matchup. And I think it applies to a lot of these ranked versus unranked type games.
Thought we would get more from Castleton this year, but it's been a tough transition for him. But they still like to play a little defense too there, Florida. So what happens here? They've gotten out there in pace too. The only problem with going under here is... any chance Florida dictates pace here, you think, Brian, or is it just a dead under for you as well?
Well, based on what I've said the other two games, you'd probably figure I'd take the over or something crazy like that. But we're not going to do that because we need to talk about Tennessee's defense in this game. As Drew touched on, number one in efficiency over at KenPom, number one in scoring, 54.5 points per game allowed, number one field goal percentage allowed, 34.5%. But what we really need to talk about, I don't know if you guys have seen this or read this, Tennessee's three-point defense this year is historically incredible. Teams are shooting 22% from three against Tennessee. Do you guys know what the record is all time in college basketball for lowest three-point field goal percentage defense allowed? Rather than awkwardly wait for you, I will say it is 25%. So they are 3 percentage points lower than the all-time college record. There have been a lot of missed threes against this Tennessee team. Now, the question is Florida the team to make some of these shots? Well, if you watch their last game, the answer would be no, because they were 4 of 22 against Kansas State, scored a season-low 50 points, and they're only hitting 32.3% from three for the year. But Florida, as we've all pointed out, good defensive team as well. Top 10 in the country in efficiency per KenPom, I believe number 8 to be exact. Trigg, I thought what he said about odds makers shading these numbers was outstanding analysis, very astute. But I'm going to be very stubborn here. I'm going to say in a game that I don't see a lot of points, just give me the home dog, Tennessee. If they beat me and make me look foolish, okay. Mm. But they've won 4 straight by double digits since the loss to Kentucky. Maybe they're due for a close one. Florida's lost a lot of close ones, guys. 4 of their 9 losses this season by 3 points or less. They're 6-2 against the number in SEC play. I do agree the spot seems Florida, so I would take Florida plus the points and just hope and pray somebody can make threes against this Tennessee team.
All right, good stuff there. Yeah, not a lot of great or those quad one wins. I think 1 for Florida, yet looks like Tennessee, every one of those quad one teams they played, I think 4-1 or 5-1. They are, Rick Barnes has got this team ready to roll, but they got to go to Florida tonight. We'll see how they do. But again, a lot of great games across the board here tonight, not just these three. It's a very interesting card. I know it'll be interesting to see if Drew noticed the maybe is that an Auburn shirt you got on? I'm just saying it might be heading to the SEC tonight for a bet. Just saying it may happen here. So, Drew, kick us off. Where might you be looking for a best bet on this card tonight?
Sure, Joe. I mean, all three games I got down on Tennessee -5. First of all, needs to be said, whenever these two teams are playing, we got you can't spell citrus without UT. One of the better sports quotes out there. But yeah, I touched that one a little bit. Just and also, I forgot to mention, Joe. Florida had has had a tough time stepping up in class. The middle game we talked about, New Mexico and Utah State. Late night action, by the way. Thanks, Chris Allen. 10:30 Eastern. Mm. We get New Mexico +4.5. So touching that one as well. But best bet for the show, Joe, going with the game we talked at the top, Providence +4 here, 17-5, 9-2. Two teams right next to each other in the rankings, like Brian pointed out as well. But Ed Cooley as a dog, 8-2 against the spread their last 10, winning 3 straight, plus Zach Fremantle out for Xavier. I do think that's a big loss, as efficient as he is. Are they going to fill the 15 points, 8 rebounds, 59% shooting? I think they're going to have a little bit of a tough time here, talking about the Xavier side. Providence +4, better free throw shooting team. Give me the points. That's my best bet, Joe.
All right. Getting the points. Take it and be done with it here. Great matchups there in all three of those games. But Providence as a dog. Cash it. Talk to us here, Trigg. Where are you looking on the card here tonight for a best bet? Remind everyone what that promo is that Brian Power is siphoning off you.
Yeah, the promo is game. Listen, the promo is game 3. It works on 3-day all access for myself, Brian Power, or Jeff Michaels over at Sports Memo. You can use it as many times as you want, and I think it'll be up for a few days. So that's a great way to get 3 days, everything we've got. Listen. $39 for 3 days, 1 5% or 35. So great deal right there to get 3 days of all access. I've got 1 4%er up for tonight. I may add another one as it goes along. I will give you one that was it just kind of missed for me. And really, I guess the only reason I didn't make it a client selection, laying huge points is never my style. But if there was ever a spot to do it, I think it would be out in Lowell, Mass tonight. With UMass Lowell laying 2 touchdowns against Albany. Mm. Joe, this Albany team, as you guys know, I grew up outside of Albany, went to Siena College. I followed the Albany greats for most of my life as well. They are a complete mess this year. They've had an issue off the court where their coach was getting sued by another player. He just went to court for that a couple weeks ago. They lost Justin Neely way back in November against Siena. He was going to be their best player this year. And they've been playing over at a community college in Troy, New York, while the CEFQ Arena gets redone. I think that's starting to take its toll, because that's 2 towns over from Albany. It's not like they're just down the road. I mean, it's still like a 15, 20-minute drive away from campus. No one goes to the games. So I just think it's been a really tough season for Albany, who's now 6-17, 1-7 in conference play. And we're starting to get to February, and I think these guys are just over it, to be honest. They've lost 5 straight. I don't know how this is even possible. Their last win was a 26-point win over this UMass Lowell team. Makes absolutely no sense. I think we've got a nice revenge angle. Guys, UMass Lowell comes off back-to-back road losses to New Hampshire and Maine, but they're 11-0 at home this season. And it, with the matchup, they should be able to just get whatever they want against Albany here. They've pretty much stopped defending. That was one of the hallmarks of Killing's team last year with Albany, was that they really played hard on defense, stayed in games. That just hasn't been the case this year. I don't think the two touchdowns is enough for Albany. And you've got the fact that UMass Lowell is coming in off back-to-back losses, and they just got blown out at Albany a few weeks back. I think they're going to be looking to make a statement. I don't know if it's going to be quite Alabama over Vandy, guys, but Lowell's going to be upset, and they're going to be ready to run someone off their floor. I think that someone is Albany. So minus 14, UMass Lowell, I think it gets there.
All right, get it done. Love it, Albany. UMass Lowell here tonight for Trig. Brian, how about you, man? Which game on a card did you circle for us here?
Let the record show, Joe, that I really wanted to give out East Tennessee State plus the points in this spot. They have not covered a single spread at home all year, 0-10. Then I started looking at it, and it was really awkward because I really couldn't support it with anything other than, what, are they going to not cover every home game? So let's turn to a different direction here and an opportunity to buy low, sell high, as we often do on the program. And we turn to our friends at Richmond, who have lost three in a row straight up and failed to cover five straight times. They are taking on a St. Bonaventure team who is coming off an outright win as 11-point dogs against VCU. This Richmond team has certainly been a bit disappointing to this point. We know that. But it's worth noting the market had the Spiders favored here at home against VCU two Fridays ago. Now, they lose that game. They lose to UMass. They lose to Dayton. But as a result, we're getting what I think is a substantial discount here. The Spiders are 9-2 at home. They're outscoring teams by 10.3 points per game still. And you have the revenge angle as well. Bonnies win the first meeting, 71-63, obviously at home back on January 14th. But Richmond led in the half at that game and completely fell apart defensively last 15 minutes. They couldn't get a stop. I don't think St. Bonaventure, who only averages 62.5 points per game, can do that again on the road. Also, I don't think St. Bonaventure can rely on the opponent going 2 of 16 from 3 again, which is what happened at VCU on Saturday. Prior to that upset, guys, St. Bonaventure was 0-7 straight up, 1-6, pardon me, against the spread in true road games. So I will lay it here for today's best bet with Richmond, the Spiders, out in the A-10. And remember that code, Game 3.
All right, get there, Game 3, guys. And speaking of games, we've got our friends from the Gold Sheet. They're taking a look here at a pretty interesting game tonight we already talked about. They, too, seem to be in agreement with New Mexico getting them points at Utah State. They, too, are pointing out that New Mexico's already had a bunch of impressive road wins, St. Mary's, San Diego State, to name a few. They're also defense, top 25 in the country, and defending the three-pointers. Told you how Utah State loves to chuck those up. And also, they shoot above the national average from the two-point range, three-point range, and free throw line. Pretty damn good team here getting points tonight with New Mexico. That's why our friends from the Gold Sheet are backing them. All right, we're going to keep see if we can keep it rolling. We got it again last night with Colorado State and UNLV going up and over the total. Love this spot with one of my favorite teams, certainly to watch and bet on, for that matter. I'm going to go with the Belmont Bruins tonight in a pick'em spot coming off a loss this weekend to Drake, 79-61. They got beat up there a little bit, but we've already seen this matchup here, guys, a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't end well for Murray State. In Belmont, it ain't going to end on their home court well either. They beat them 80-65 in the first round. Way too much shooting, way too much offense. Give me the Belmont Bruins. I pick them price. I got no problem watching them bounce back and run over Murray State. One more time here, guys, for a quick recap for you with Drew. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Providence has a dog. Ed Cooley, give me them damn points, Drew says. Trigg, UMass Lowell, two touchdowns, not a problem. They're playing Albany. Coach is probably arrested again. Brian Power going Richmond here in this one tonight. Laying five there, taking on the Bonnies. I'm going to pack Belmont. Give me him to pick him. Just so much fun to watch this team play and bombs away. And our friends from the Gold Sheet, they too are in agreement with New Mexico plus the four. And if you head over to wagertalk.com, you can visit all three of these guys. Drew Martin, Adam Trigger. Don't forget that game three, guys. That's three-day all-access with Drew as well as Brian Power. Take advantage of that. Their best bets locked, loaded, ready to roll here tonight at wagertalk.com. There you go. There's that promo. And I'm telling you, it doesn't get any more exciting when these two get together and go to basketball games. The only thing more exciting is them combining to give you guys basketball games. So promo code game three. Take advantage of it with these two guys. Outstanding stuff there, Will. As always, guys, come on back. Join us again tomorrow. We'll have updated photos when they do go to this Kent State game, I promise you. Until then, on behalf of Drew, Adam, and Brian Power, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with all the plays tonight here, guys. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Good luck.
Lock in all sports, all plays, all 5% best bets from now until Super Bowl 58 on February 11, 2024. From your favorite Wager Talk or Sports Memo handicapper for only $11.99 versus the regular price of $19.99 for a total savings of $800. This limited time super discount basically is 52 weeks at $23 per week, less than the price of one 4% play coming out to only $3.29 per day. With the cost of a 30-day all-access priced at $299, it is almost like getting 8 30-day all-access passes at no additional cost. As an added bonus, your all-access starts immediately, so the sooner you buy before Super Bowl, the more additional days you get for free.